Hey, Temper says. I'm talking to you. The human woman pauses. Then, hesitantly, she turns back around. Temper pats the empty seat next to her. Sit down. The woman looks like sitting is the last thing she wants to do, but reluctantly she does, in fact, sit down. What's your name? As Temper talks, she begins fixing the woman a plate of sandwiches and a cup of tea.
Gladiola.
The woman fidgets, glancing around us nervously. Hi, Gladiola. I'm Temper, and this is Callie, she says, introducing us. Do you know what we are? Tentatively, Gladiola nods. So you're aware that I can smite the shit out of any fairy that pisses me off, and that Callie here can get you to do whatever she wishes if she wants to? Awesome, coercing and scaring the enslaved human woman, just how I envisioned spending solstice. Gladiola nods again. Oh, good. Well then, now that that's cleared up, let's enjoy a little snack together. Temper pushes the plate of sandwiches she fixed for Gladiola a little closer to the woman. So, tell me, what's the latest gossip? Her eyes dart to me.
I'm not supposed to talk with you.
Why not? Temper asks. We're all humans here. She just shakes her head.
Come on, Temper encourages.
It's all right. We just want to know a little gossip. I stare warily at my friend, trying to figure out what she's playing at. Gladiola lets out a shaky breath.
The fairies are uncomfortable that a human woman is going to become the next Night Queen.
I'm not going to be queen, I say. The woman glances down at her hands in her lap.
They don't trust the Night King either. He killed another king, and the Fauna Fae want revenge, and...
She hesitates. And what? Temper encourages. Gladiola's hands twist in her lap.
People have been saying that the Night King is behind the disappearances.
My stomach drops. That's the second person today to say such a thing.
They say, she continues, that he's the last person they see.
Unease skitters up my back.
It's just a rumor.
Gladiola glances between the two of us.
Can I leave?
Before either Temper or I can respond, a series of night soldiers come running through the gardens. Several of them flash past us before I snag one of them by the shirt sleeves. What's going on?
He almost doesn't stop. It's not until he sees who caught him that he pauses.
He takes in a deep breath. Another soldier has disappeared.
Chapter 32.
Another soldier has disappeared. That's all I can concentrate on that evening as fairies enjoy yet another dance inside the Flora Kingdom's castle. Since arriving here, 3 night soldiers, 4 fauna soldiers, 1 day soldier, and 2 flora soldiers have disappeared from the outskirts of the palace grounds. The numbers are staggering even for the Thief of Souls. Whoever he is, he's growing bolder, or more desperate. The whole thing casts a dark pall on the festival. Even this evening's ball is a more somber occasion than the last two. The conversations are subdued, and I swear I see fairies looking over their shoulders, like the boogeyman might jump out and snatch them when they're not looking. This evening, rather than enjoying himself, Dez ping-pongs from one official to the next, receiving updates, offering suggestions, and listening to worries. Even now, even when he's supposed to be enjoying the evening, he's working. I watch him, his arms folded across his massive chest as he leans down to listen to a Flora Fae.
I'm surprised he left you alone.
Janice steps up to my side, looking like the morning sun. Almost immediately, I feel my panic rise. He's not going to take me. I try to calm myself. Not here, at least. An even sharper thought lances through me. What if he's behind the recent disappearances? Sure, he wasn't here the first evening when 2 of our men went missing, but he did take me. That I'm sure of. I'm surprised you're not alongside him offering aid and advice. I'm proud that my voice doesn't tremble as I speak.
I wanted a drink.
He lifts his glass.
And a break.
He swirls his wine.
Besides, I find the King of Night insufferable. No offense.
He glances at me and I hold his gaze. Everything about him is made to be warm and inviting, from his tan skin to his golden hair to his bright blue eyes. And yet I find him cold, so very, very cold. You took me. We both know it.
You must hate me,
he says softly, not looking away. Are you admitting to what you did? I can't believe I'm actually having this conversation.
I didn't take you.
You and I both know that's not true, I say.
Gods above, he says, glancing heavenward. It is.
My skin is crawling. Every second I stand here talking to this man, I feel like I'm one step closer to death. Listen, I say, leaning in. I don't know if you are the thief of souls or if you simply work for him, but I will fucking pin this on you, you sick son of a bitch. I'm shaking and I'm frightened and I'm hopped up on enough adrenaline to lift a car, but I just looked my abductor in the eye and told him off. God damn, I feel like a badass. I'm about to leave when he catches my wrist.
Wait, do not touch me, I warn.
From his conversation across the room, Dez's head snaps up, his attention honing in on us. Janice releases my wrist like it burned him.
I was giving a speech to my people when you were taken. I have proof.
Shadows creep up the edges of the room. I don't believe you, I tell him. But not for the first time today, I hesitate. Am I remembering things wrong? Suddenly, none of that matters because Dez materializes in front of me, coming between me and the King of Day.
Janice, you need to step the fuck away from my mate.
Dez's wings begin to unfurl, his talons looking particularly lethal.
Don't talk to her.
He takes a step forward.
Don't look at her.
Another ominous step.
Don't come close to her.
The two are almost nose to nose.
As far as you're concerned, she doesn't exist.
Around us, the room has gone quiet. I'm pretty sure everyone is expecting a repeat of last night's brawl. Janice appears unimpressed.
You've forgotten your place, Flynn. It's within my rights to speak to any and all of the subjects here, mated or not.
Dez's voice drops low so that only I can hear it.
Have I told you how easy it was to kill Carnon? His bones broke like twigs, his body burst like overripe fruit.
Dez smiles, the action cruel.
Ending him was the easiest thing to do in the world. Don't make the same mistake he did. Stay the fuck away from my mate or I will kill you, just as I did the Mad King.
Dez's warning is enough to keep Janice at bay. I rub my arms as I watch Janice move into the crowd, downing his wine and snagging another flute from a nearby table. Slowly, the bargainer's wings tuck back into themselves and the darkness recedes.
Are you all right?
Dez asks, his hands moving to my upper arms. He looks me over, like Janice might have done some damage to me while we talked. I nod, taking in a shaky breath. I'm fine, He unnerves the shit out of me, I say, my eyes wandering to the Day King, who's now talking with Mara and the Green Man, the three watching Dez and I carefully. The bargainer lets out a husky laugh, some of his dangerous edge dying away with it.
And to think I'd once worried that you'd like the asshole.
I remember Dez telling me about the King of Day, that he was the lover of truth and honesty and beauty and yada yada yada. I let a very real shudder course through me. Dez's hand cups my face.
We can leave. Right this second. My men will pack our bags and follow us. Janice cannot step a foot onto my kingdom without me knowing, and he's aware that if he does, death awaits him.
The bargainer's eyes glint with malice. Perhaps Dez does descend from demons. I see something at the back of his gaze that craves violence far more than even my siren.
All you have to do is say the word,
he says. His offer is so very tempting. If I stay, I'll have several more days of this. But if we left, it would make Dez look weak or worse, guilty. I shake my head. Let's see this through. He stares at me for several seconds before nodding.
If you change your mind,
I'll tell you. I finish for him.
The next hour is filled with discussion after discussion as Dez and I move about the room. Now that the bargainer is at my side, I've gotten roped into talking with fairies. Blech. It doesn't help that these are the same fairies that are desperately trying to ignore my existence. It would actually be fairly entertaining if it weren't so grating. I'm a human, not a human-shaped dump someone took on the floor. No one has to pretend I don't exist.
Despite Dez's best efforts, I eventually manage to slip away. As I move away from him, he gives me a look that has me clutching my bracelet of beads. Methinks I'm going to pay later for leaving him to suffer his fate alone. I mosey over to the table where row after row of wine glasses sit, ripe for the taking. Don't mind if I do. I snag one, sighing a little after I take my first sip. So dang good. Several minutes into my escape, I realize I have no conversation to join. Both Malachi and Temper are suspiciously absent. I search the crowd for Ethereal, wondering if she's here tonight. If she is, I don't see her. I take another sip of my drink. The only other people I've come to know here are the rulers. F no am I talking to Janice, who's currently schmoozing with some Fauna Fae officials, and Mara is on the dance floor in the middle of the closest thing to an open orgy that I've ever seen. Her harem of men clamor around her, their hands and lips pressed against her skin. It's weird to see them all gyrating together while a string quartet plays in the background, and it's even weirder that I'm watching. I desperately want to unsee this, but I also can't look away. Damn it, where is Temper when you need her? She'd have a whole commentary on what's going down. But instead of Temper, I get the green man. He sidles up next to me and I suppress a groan. Not him. He follows my gaze to Mara and her harem.
You get used to it, he says.
I take a healthy swig of my drink. Jesus, Joseph and Mary, am I glad I can drink again. Fairies, I'm quickly learning, are best dealt with while buzzed.
Flora Fae are not usually monogamous, not even mates,
he continues. Don't care and don't really want to know. Huh, I say.
The past kings of the Night Realm have not been either, not even your mate's father.
The green man stands a little too close, and my hand twitches with the need to push him away a few feet. I know. Drop the subject, green man, please. For the love of baby angels, drop the subject.
I would think that, as future queen of the Kingdom of Night, you yourself would be open to hedonistic pursuits.
I don't know if he's propositioning me or just feeling me out, but ugh, this guy is creepy. I grimace. I'm not. Mara grabs one of the men nearest her, kissing him deeply on the dance floor while another man squeezes her breast. And her mate stands at my side, watching the entire thing go down. The ick factor of this situation is off the charts.
Once you get past the unusual nature of it, I think you'll find that it can be very liberating. I've had many, many lovers, though never a human woman.
All right, that was definitely a proposition. I down my wine, and when that doesn't make the situation immediately better, it was worth a try. I push the green man back several steps. You need to back up, buddy. And I need more wine. I need all the wine.
So what does the King of Night intend to do with you, a mortal?
He asks, smirking down at me, his chest still pressed against my hand. I look at the green man, really look at him. Excuse me? What kind of question is that? I'm Dez's mate, not some new hire.
Producing heirs, the green man muses aloud. That would be at the top of his mind, especially given his age and your fertility.
Producing heirs? Producing heirs? I feel like I'm pressing the fast-forward button on my brain, my thoughts racing by at warp speed until they stop at one very poignant realization. Dez and I have been having unprotected sex. Dez and I have been having unprotected sex. Oh God, oh God, oh God. There's suddenly not enough wine in the world for this conversation. My hand drops from the green man's chest. I haven't been using birth control. Dez hasn't been wearing condoms. Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck! What sort of loser just forgets about these things? It's a trick question because obviously this bitch right here is the loser that does. Dez and I have never talked about the subject of children aside from one confession he forced out of me weeks ago where I admitted that I wanted to have children with him. But not this second. What if... Oh God, what if... What if I'm pregnant? The green man's voice drifts in.
Fae aren't particularly fertile, but humans are.
God, this dude won't shut up about it! Where is the eject button for this conversation? I catch sight of Temper, who is entering the ballroom, self-consciously straightening her dress. There is my escape. Temper! Temper! I call out, the panic clear in my voice. She whips about, searching the crowd until she sees me. My best friend takes one look at my expression and another at the man next to me, and bless her to the ends of the earth, she begins to slip through the crowd, a determined look on her face.
Are you all right?
The green man says, his eyes bright with excitement rather than concern, as if he's unaware of the effect his words have on me. My eyes search the crowd, falling on Dez, whose back is to me. He's the one I should really talk about this with, but he's trapped in discussions, and more importantly, I don't really want to have that talk. Temper swoops in then. Back the fuck up, green man. The queen needs more wine. Before either me or the green man have a chance to react, Temper slides her arm through mine and forcefully escorts me away. Jesus, I love you, I say.
Black Jesus loves you too, you crazy skank.
She bumps my hip with her own. I need to get out of here, I say, not bothering to comment on the fact that Temper has a healthy glow to her, or that her hair is a little sex-shaken. What's wrong? She asks, eyeing me up and down. You look like you accidentally saw your grandparents getting it on. I swallow. I'll tell you, just... I glance around at all the fairies crowding the room. Dropping my voice, I say, not here. She purses her lips, eyeing me again, but nods. We're just about to the door when I hear Mara's voice. Callie! I close my eyes. We nearly made it. Want to just pretend we didn't hear that? Temper asks. Callie! Mara calls again, more insistent this time. I sigh and shake my head. The two of us turn. The Queen of Flora is no longer on the dance floor, instead drinking a refreshment from where I stood a moment ago with the green man, who is now no longer in sight. You must come here. She beckons me over, her crowd of men eyeing me curiously. Have I mentioned that I don't fucking like that woman? Temper says next to me. Look at that smug-ass smile. She looks like the kind of bitch that befriends you just so she can steal your boyfriend. This is precisely why Temper and I are friends. The girl gets it. Ugh, I should probably go over, I say. Being mates with a fae king has its drawbacks. I'd spent my teen years being a wallflower and the years following that making people forget they'd run into me. But now, being a fae king's mate, I'm as far from anonymous as I can be. Temper dips her finger into her wine, stirring it contemplatively. It's a look she gets right about the time she's concocting a spell. If she pisses you off, give me a signal and I'll rescue you again, no questions asked. I nod. Thanks for having my back, T. Anytime. Oh, and later I want to hear what you were about to tell me, she says as she backs away. I swallow uncomfortably, the green man's conversation bubbling back up. I could be pregnant. I nod and part ways with Temper, taking a deep breath as I head over to Mara, who's giggling with her harem. Her gaze moves to me and her eyes sharpen. So, tell me, she says, how did you and Desmond meet? I glance around at the men watching us. Everyone looks so goddamn predatory. This is exactly why I wanted to stay far, far away from the other world in the first place. These people will eat you alive. She sees where my attention is. Don't worry about them. Now, I've been dying to hear this story. I have a knee-jerk reaction to lie, as I have in the past when it comes to how Dez and I met, but before I can, I reassess my audience. You know what? Why not give them the truth? The first time I met the King of the Night was the evening I killed my father. He helped me hide the body,
For a moment, no one speaks. And then one of the men begins to laugh. One by one, the rest join in. Even Mara cracks a smile.
What have I told you about humans?
One of the men says to another.
They are vicious little things when they want to be.
I frown at the man before the Queen of Flora drags my attention away. My, my, she says. How much you and Desmond have in common. No wonder he's so smitten with you. A woman after his own heart. I furrow my brows. What's that supposed to mean? She waves the conversation off, taking another sip of her drink. That's not my story to tell. But speaking of stories, I imagine you have quite the tale to tell from your time with Carnon. Yeah, that's not exactly a tale I want to share during cocktail hour at the Flora Queen's Palace. It must have been a shock, she says when I don't respond. Coming here to the other world, and being kidnapped, no less. I can't imagine being trapped in Carnon's palace. That awful place had long since gone to seed by the time you arrived. Bones breaking, blood dripping, endless agony. I give her a tight smile. She leans forward. I hear Desmond arrived just in time. It seems uncanny almost. I wonder how he found you so quickly. I narrow my eyes at her, seeing exactly what she's getting at. Had I not talked to Des about this earlier, her words would worm their way under my skin. She lightly touches my arm. Well, it's no matter now. You're safe, and thanks to those wings of yours, Desmond has ensured that you cannot leave his side to return to Earth. As soon as that last sentence registers, my heart seems to skip a beat. Thanks to those wings of yours, Desmond has ensured that you cannot leave his side. Calypso? Mara's voice echoes as though from a distance. I blink several times, the Flora Queen's face coming into focus. Her expression is pinched with concern, though I know it's all an act, just like the casual way she managed to plant those bits of doubt in my mind. Are you all right? She asks, reaching for my arm. And then Dez's words up on the treetop return to me. How despite our weak connection, he felt my need and my pain through our bond. That my agony at the hands of Carnon had to be as intense as it was for the bargainer to sense my distress and through it my location. That was how Des found me when he did, not because he wanted to keep me here in the other world like some caged bird. He doesn't think like that, even if the Flora Queen does. The moment Mara's fingers touch my elbow, I jerk it out of her reach. Around us, I hear a few muffled gasps from fairies who must have caught sight of the action. Apparently not letting a queen touch you is some sort of faux pas. You're wrong. I take a step back. I can feel my wings ruffling in agitation. So wrong. I need to get away from these creatures with their fake smiles and duplicitous words. Wait, I hope I didn't upset you, she says. A lie. I called you over because I've been meaning to give you a gift in honor of your bond to the King of the Night. I feel the first tendrils of apprehension. I've learned from Des that when it comes to gifts from fairies, there are always strings attached. The Flora Queen's harem presses in around me, boxing me in while Mara gestures to someone over her shoulder. A human servant weaves through the throng of guests carrying a silver tray. Resting on it is a delicate metal wine glass filled with light purple liquid. She stops at the Queen's side. Carefully, Mara removes it from the tray. Do you know what this is? She asks. I shake my head, bewildered by this newest turn of events. I would have thought that perhaps... But never mind. She hands me the goblet, and it's only as she does so that it clicks. This is her gift, whatever this actually is. Reluctantly, I take the silver cup, staring down at the liquid with a slight grimace on my mouth. When I don't take any further action, some of Mara's men laugh at me like I'm a simpleton. To receive a drink, but not to taste it. You must try it, the Flora Queen insists. There's no way in hell I'm going to try it. Not a drink given to me by this broad. Before I can commit some further faux pas, the air shifts and the shadows deepen. Everyone else must feel it too, because conversations become hushed. And then out of the shadows, Dez appears, as though from a dream. He's light and darkness, from the shadows that curl around him to the moonbeams that seem to illuminate him from within. Fairies step out of his way, making an aisle of sorts for him to stride down. Silently he heads for me, his white hair brushed away from his face, his jaw firm. Just like the first time I saw him, he takes my breath away.
"What is this I hear of a gift?"
he says when he reaches our group. He gently takes the delicate chalice from my hand.
"Is this it?"
he asks, pacing several feet away, his eyebrows raised. He brings the glass to his nose.
"Lilac wine,"
he says. Several people throughout the room gasp. He gives Mara an approving smile.
"Cunning as ever, dear queen."
Ever so deliberately, he overturns the liquid, letting it spill onto the floor as he paces. The room goes utterly silent. I glance from person to person, trying to figure out what's going on. "You trod on my hospitality?" she says, an edge entering her voice.
"Perhaps you should think twice before you try to con my mate. Someone could get the wrong idea,"
Dez says, looking remorseless. I knew something was up with that drink. Now Mara smiles. "And perhaps you should explain to your human mate why you refuse this most sacred and arcane of lover's rights, or why she will die a mortal when she could have lived at your side for eons." Chapter 33. All right, what is lilac wine? I ask. The two of us are back in our rooms, Dez's jacket thrown haphazardly across the table, his shirt sleeves rolled up to reveal his corded forearms, and my heels are kicked off, my hair cascading wildly down my back. He leans against the wall, watching me, his arms crossed over his chest.
"A drink."
Awesome. Forthcoming Dez has gone into hiding. "You've got to give me more than that." Both Mara and Dez had almost lost their shit over the wine.
"Contrary to your opinion, I actually don't,"
he says, his eyes glinting in the dim room. Frustrating man. "Listen," I say, "if you don't tell me, someone else will. This is your chance to set the record straight." His arms drop to his sides and he prowls forward.
"Fine. You want me to set the record straight? Here it is, straight and clear. I have imagined giving you lilac wine 1,000 times.
He comes right up to me, and something about his agitated mood has me backing up.
"I imagined slipping it to you just as Mara did, coaxing you into drinking it when you didn't know any better."
My back hits a wall, and Dez pins me in with his arms.
"I've even had it prepared before,"
he says, reaching out and stroking the column of my throat with his thumb.
"I had it in my fridge back on Catalina Island, and I've had it on hand in my palace."
"What is it? And why do you have to be deceitful about it?" His jaw muscles clench as he wages some internal war between telling me or not. Eventually, he gives in to my questioning.
"Somewhere deep in time, fairies found a way to make their mortal lovers immortal,"
he says. His eyes look piercing, eager, as he speaks.
"They gave their human lovers lilac wine, and flesh that should have aged became ageless, and magic that was once imperfect became perfect. Two species became one."
"I don't understand," I say. "Why keep this a secret? It's not like I have anything against lilac wine now that I know about it."
"Maybe I didn't want to know your opinion. If you wanted to be immortal, it would mean you were okay to forsake all those things that make you so delightfully human. Things I happen to love."
"Aww."
"But if you didn't want to be immortal, it would mean that you expected me to stand by and watch you age, watch you die."
His gaze scours my face, deepening with sadness. "Because I am aging. I will die long before he ever does." "So you thought slipping me the wine was a better idea than getting my opinion on the matter?" "See, this is why couples need to talk about things. Healthy option versus unhealthy option here."
"If you notice, I have slipped you nothing," he says.
"But you've considered it,
I counter.
How many things have you considered? Does consideration make it wrong?
His lips brush my cheek. I swallow. What stopped you from giving me the wine? He pulls away a little, frowning.
The same thing that stopped me from taking you away the night of your prom and making you mine forever. I have enough broken humanity to know it's wrong, and enough self-control to fight my innate nature.
And what's your innate nature? I say, my words whisper soft.
To take what I want, when I want, and to apologize to no one for it.
Yeesh.
You want to know a secret?
He doesn't wait for me to answer.
Only if you drink the lilac wine will our bond be complete. Only then can we freely share our magic.
Chapter 34. This lilac wine is sounding better and better the more I hear about it.
Remind me again why you don't want me to drink the wine, I ask.
Des gives me a small smile.
It doesn't matter what I want. I waited 8 years for you, Cherub, and now you're here, warming my bed and weaseling my secrets out of me. This is more than enough.
Why would Mara give lilac wine to me? I ask, now curious about the Flora Queen's motives. It's obvious enough that she's no fan of mine, so why give me such a gift?
Des tilts his head.
Let's strike a deal. I'll answer your question if you'll answer one of mine.
Everything just has to come down to a deal with the bargainer. Fine, I say. It's not like he can't just take a bead and force the truth out of me anyway. I feel a subtle shift of magic in the air as Des binds me to the agreement. His smile spreads before he tucks it away.
To answer your question, Mara probably had several motives when she gave you the lilac wine. She'd want the room to see her being generous to a human and accepting of our bond. That's just good for politics. She was also making a point that you'd be more accepted if you were made to be more like us. And finally, she was probing our relationship for weaknesses.
Why would she do that? I ask.
Leverage,
Des responds.
It's quite easy to control people once you understand them.
It's dizzying, the layers of schemes that fairies are pursuing at any given moment. Just when I think I might understand such creatures, I hear something like this. I couldn't even keep such intrigue straight in my mind.
Now, Des says, I believe it's my turn.
Ah, yes, my turn to answer a question.
What were you talking about with the green man earlier this evening?
He asks. I feel my face pale. He noticed that conversation? The man is way too perceptive. My throat works. I really don't want to have this talk. The longer I hesitate, the stronger the pull I feel from his magic. It wraps around my windpipe, forcing me to speak. We've been having unprotected sex, I finally say. The magic doesn't release me.
Ugh.
Des waits for me to finish. I take a deep breath. I could be pregnant, I whisper. His eyes widen at my confession. I rub my neck and watch him warily as his magic dissipates. He studies me, and for the life of me, I can't tell what he's thinking. Finally, he says,
What is this about, Cherub?
Huh? It's about that, Des, having a baby. Just saying it is making it that much more real. I need a pregnancy test stat.
I thought you wanted to have my child,
Des says in his dangerous voice. I do want to have his child. This isn't a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This whole thing is just moving too fast, I say.
Moving too fast?
Those are clearly the wrong three words to say. I see it in his eyes, that foreign flicker of something alien, something fey.
Haven't you had enough of moving slow?
His hand presses gently against my stomach, cradling it. I stare at him, well aware that I'm facing down Fey Des, Dark Des, Des who craves things I can't understand. What was it Phaedron had mentioned? No fairy would let his mate get away just because she put up a little protest. Hasn't that been the theme of the evening? The possibility that I want things that will take me away from Des rather than bring me closer to him?
Perhaps I want you to have my child,
he says, moving his hand from my stomach to my bracelet.
Perhaps I want us to begin right now.
I swallow, my mouth dry. All at once, he releases my wrist and backs away, running his hands through his hair. That dangerous spark extinguishes from his eyes. Dez sits down heavily on a nearby chair, and now that edgy Dez has retreated, I feel my own knees weaken with... what? Relief? Disappointment? Dez's feral side is nearly as appealing as it is frightening. And that might make me sick, but screw it, I've known I was twisted for a long time.
Forgive me,
he says into his hands.
This bond comes with its own set of barbaric instincts.
I smooth down my dress, stepping away from the wall.
I shouldn't have reacted that way.
He rubs his mouth and chin.
It's particularly difficult for women to conceive fey children. We don't see them as burdens. I wouldn't see it as a burden.
I feel hot and cold and confused, like someone's pulled the rug out from under me.
And I'd hoped,
he continues,
that you wouldn't see it that way either.
Is that part of the reason why you won't give me the lilac wine? I ask. I assume my fertility would decrease the moment I drank the wine, if it in fact made me more like other fey women. He laughs.
Gods no. I already stated my reasons for not giving you the wine. And if I was determined to get you pregnant, Cherub, I don't think a little thing like immortality would get in the way.
The way he's looking at me has my core heating up. I let out a breath. But you do want children, I ask. Those shocking silver eyes meet mine. They remind me of light and darkness and everything in between.
With you?
He says.
Of course.
I don't know why that gets to me. Why what he says and how he says it tightens my throat, but it does. Sometimes I forget that I really do get to have this life, with all its horror and beauty, with all its messy entanglements. I can reach out and take it whenever I want. More than that, Dez wants me to reach out and take it. I head towards Dez as I face down all my raw, raging emotions.
I don't think you're pregnant,
he says, tilting his head up from his seat as I approach him.
Though if you are, we'll deal with that, Cherub, just like everything else.
I take his face in my hands and silence him with a kiss. This love between us is bigger than him, bigger than me. From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, for the rest of our lives, be mine always, Desmond Flynn. I whisper against his lips, reciting the same words that first took him away from me. They still hold the same wonderful, fearful power they did when I first spoke them, even after paying my tithe for them. Dez draws me closer, pulls me in tighter. I keep forgetting that beyond his cockiness and power, there's a part of him that's vulnerable, unsure. I said those words to him 7 years ago, but 7 years is a long time to go without hearing them. An eternity for two soulmates. I feel him shudder against me as he responds,
"Till darkness dies."
Chapter 35. It's late morning when Dez and I enter Mara's sitting room. So far today I've managed to eat breakfast, then nearly upchuck said breakfast while training with Dez. Oh, the joys of becoming a weapon of mass destruction. Mara is already reclining on a couch, waiting for us. She looks impossibly regal with her lilac dress draped around her, revealing just the right amount of leg from one of its slits. "Ah, there you are," she says, raising her hands in greeting like yesterday never happened. I'm still sweaty from the workout, inconspicuously picking at the training leathers that are now sealing themselves to my skin. Dez, for his part, looks far more badass, his gear molding to his body like a lover. We were right in the middle of a scrimmage that I swear was going my way when Mara's soldiers interrupted us, telling us that the Queen of Flora requested my presence. Dez sort of took it upon himself to join me, despite not receiving an invitation himself. And now here we are, completely out of place in this dainty little sitting room. Around Mara, several servants move about. I catch sight of the red, upraised skin on their wrists.
Humans. Slaves.
Mara's eyes follow mine, and her expression seems to grow excited when she realizes what I'm looking at. In her world, regardless of titles and relationships, at the end of the day, I am one of them. A shadow, a servant, an inferior race of beings. Mara's attention slides to Dez, and she flashes him a sly smile.
Didn't trust me alone with your mate?
The last time my mate was alone with a ruler, she nearly died. It's nothing personal.
Mara clicks her tongue. So very protective. Her eyes slide to me. But you don't need protecting, do you?
On Earth? No. In fact, if Dez pulled something like this back home, it would royally irk me. But here, where my glamour is useless and I'm surrounded by immortals who like blood sport even more than my siren does, I'm inclined to let Dez be protective.
What did you want to talk to me about? I ask instead, taking the lead and heading deeper into the room.
Dez follows behind me. I sit down in the green velvet armchair adjacent to her, and Dez takes the matching seat across from it.
Tea? Mara offers, gesturing to the delicate tea set in front of her on the coffee table.
I shake my head.
Don't mind if I help myself, she says.
The vines that have taken over the room now slither up the coffee table, wrapping around the tea kettle and a delicate cup. They lift the porcelain containers into the air, and then ever so gently the vines tilt the kettle and tea begins pouring into the cup.
Have you enjoyed your stay so far? Mara asks, settling herself into the seat.
I can't quite rip my eyes away from the sight of all those plants pouring a cup of tea. Magic will never get old.
Mm-hmm, I say, watching as more vines join the production, one to add some cream to the cup, another to add a cube of sugar. I hear that during the first night of festivities, you and the king slipped away to the forest for a bit.
Now I tear my gaze away from the tea. I flush as I remember being pressed to that tree, Dez's chest pinned against mine as he pistoned in and out of me.
Of course the queen knows we made love under the canopy of her forest.
Oh, there's no reason to be embarrassed, she says, noticing my reddening cheeks.
We celebrate the cycle of seasons by coming together. It's an honor to have the king of the night and his mate sanctify the celebration by joining in. I myself disappeared into the forest several times that evening alone. Really, I could have lived without knowing that.
My eyes slide to Dez. He lounges back in his chair, one ankle thrown over his knee, his thumb rubbing his lower lip while he watches me. Judging from the heat in his eyes, he's vividly remembering that evening as well, and unlike me, he doesn't seem the least bit embarrassed by it. One of the vines extends the cup of tea to Mara. She takes it, sipping daintily from it.
So, she says, festivities aside, I've also heard that you are actively looking for the thief of souls.
Mara watches me over the rim of her teacup. I nod. I mean, technically Dez and I are investigating this together, but when I look at him again, I get the impression that he wants me to take full credit for this.
So you're aware that guards from all four kingdoms have gone missing during the solstice festivities. All men.
Again, I nod.
I was hoping to avoid this situation.
She takes a sip of her tea and shakes her head.
I wanted to discuss with you the testimony of the last people to see these soldiers alive. I think you'll find it most interesting.
Deliberately, she leans over and picks up a silver stirring spoon from the tea tray, then dips it into her cup.
You see, many of them say they last saw their comrades with a single individual. The same individual.
I grip the edges of the armrest, already dreading, already knowing what she's going to say.
Who? I ask anyway. Your mate, Desmond Flynn.
Chapter 36. Dez continues to languidly sit in the chair across from me. One eyebrow arches up.
You thought to tell my mate about this alone?
Nothing about this situation makes any sense. Not the testimony, which I can barely wrap my mind around, and not Dez's unruffled reaction to it. Mara ignores him.
Can you account for your mate's whereabouts over the last several evenings?
Wait, seriously? She wants me to give an alibi for Dez? My eyes are moving between Mara and Dez. Mara, who looks like a shark who scented blood, and Dez, who's not giving away anything.
Yes, I say, my voice unfaltering. He's been with me.
You're looking at the wrong man. Janice was the one that took...
Desmond was with you the entire night?
Mara probes, talking over me. My siren stirs at my agitation, wanting out. If I were back on Earth, I'd repress her. But here in the other world, where my magic is mostly useless, I don't have to worry about my power getting out of hand. So I let her out. My skin begins to shimmer.
Do you really think I would let the King of the Night out of my bed once he was in it? I say, glamour riding my voice. I am not one to be interrogated. Across from me, Mara smiles a little, her eyes shrewd. Glass shatters, interrupting the moment. A pretty young servant stares at me, her eyes wide, a shattered vase at her feet. She steps closer, glass crunching beneath the soles of her shoes. Mara rolls her eyes.
Insolent thing, she says under her breath. Clean that up now, she orders.
But the servant doesn't clean up the vase. She's not listening to the Flora Queen at all. Her eyes are trained on me, completely under my spell. My dark, seductive power laps beneath my skin. Finally, someone to bend to my will. Mara sets down her cup of tea, the vines around her beginning to slither and snap in agitation.
Do you want a lashing woman?
She says, her voice turning shrill. I smile as the servant comes closer, enjoying the power, the control.
Congratulations, my queen, Dez says. You're one of the first fairies to see what my mate can do to humans, Dez says.
Mara glances away from the servant to cast a baffled look at the bargainer. She then reappraises me, something like reluctant approval in her eyes. Meanwhile, her servant is still heading towards me, her glassy gaze fixed on my face. I turn to face the human woman.
Clean up the vase you broke and then return to your normal duties, I say.
Immediately, the servant turns around, returning to the broken glass and beginning to pick the largest pieces of it up.
Amazing, Mara breathes.
I frown as I watch the servant girl, catching a glimpse of the reddened skin near her wrist where she was branded. Mara did that to her, marked her.
How much easier it would be to control them if we had someone like her, Mara muses.
Are there more of her kind? She asks Dez. My fingers curve into the arms of my chair. Human, slave, victim. That's what I once was, what this servant is, and the fairy queen at my side is her captor, her tormentor. She's the one who deserves my wrath. I turn to Mara, feeling wild. I stand, the thrill of power coursing through me. Here is an evil to vanquish, a queen to conquer, a soul to break, and a body to bleed. In my periphery, I can just make out Dez tensing. My unshakable king is actually on edge for once. How delightful. My body rolls as I move over to Mara. Slowly, I lower myself onto her lap.
Do you mind? I ask as I do so. I don't care what her answer is.
Her mouth curves into a smile.
You have a mate, Enchantress, she says. He's not protesting.
Yet. She raises her eyebrows.
Then by all means.
I can see desire stoking in her eyes. Fairies, I'm coming to find, are a bit more sexually fluid than humans. I place my hands on either side of her head, boxing her in. I lean in close.
Why do you keep them?
My gaze travels to her neck, her delicate neck. Such a fragile part of her body. I cannot control this woman, but I can seduce her. I can hurt her. My nails sharpen, pricking the fabric of her couch. She has no idea that her words will determine what I do next.
Who?
She asks, her wicked lips forming a perfect O.
Slaves, I say. You mark them and keep them. Why? A heavy hand snakes under my arm.
That's enough fun, love,
Dez says, hoisting me out of Mara's lap. I nearly fight him. I can practically feel her blood between my fingers. Quieter, he whispers.
Save your vendettas, cherub.
Rather than setting me back in my seat, Dez settles us both on his, pulling me into his lap. My vengeance is only curbed by the slow strokes of his hand against my side. Mara's low-lidded eyes watch us. Have you heard the story of my sister? She asks, staring at me contemplatively. She doesn't wait for me to respond.
Talia Verdana, she says,
the most powerful Flora heir to be born within this millennia. No great beauty, but what is beauty to power? Mara's eyes go distant. Of course, to Talia, beauty was everything. She coveted what she didn't have. The Flora Queen's eyes drift over me and Dez. Of course, one also knows you don't need beauty if you've found love instead. And she found it in a traveling minstrel, of all things. At least, that's what we assumed he was. Mara stirs her cup of tea idly. Our parents were scandalized by the match, but that didn't stop Talia from seeing him. Did you know fairies can bargain away their power? Mara says to me. They can share it, they can gift it, but they cannot bequeath it. Death severs all deals. She takes in my glowing skin. He ended up being an enchanter, a fairy who could ensorcel other fairies with a wish and a kiss. Talia fell under his spell. She clears her throat. My parents killed him before he could destroy our kingdom. Of course, by then Talia was too far gone. She followed him to the kingdom of death. That's how I became heir to this kingdom. Mara gives us a tight smile. It has been a long time since I've met an enchanter, and never a human one. I find that despite all my reservations, you hold me captivated. Her eyes flicker with desire as she takes me in.
Yes, Callie does have that effect on people,
Dez says, his voice a touch possessive.
Now what were we talking about?
Dez looks first to me, then to Mara. He snaps his fingers.
Ah, yes, now I remember. Mara, you were insinuating that I was behind the recent disappearances.
She rearranges herself in her seat. When several witnesses all see the same thing, one has to wonder. This is the second time in 2 days another ruler has cast doubt on Dez's innocence. I want to lash out again. It's not him, I growl. The sound that comes out of my mouth is both harsh and melodic. Janice took me. Either you must cast suspicion on both of these kings, or on neither of them. The Flora Queen reaches out to one of the vines, and it begins to twine itself up her arm. None of the other captured women have complained that the Day King has abducted them, she says. Only you, the mate of the Night King, have. How do I know you aren't just protecting him? Only Dez's ironclad grip across my waist keeps me from throttling the Fae Queen. Furthermore, she says, those captured women have all said that they were taken once they dozed off. Sleep, as you know, is ruled by the Night Kingdom. It all leads back to Dez. Why does it all lead back to Dez? My skin dims as I consider this worrying thought.
And yet here we are, sitting and talking as civilized people.
Dez leans forward.
You haven't sanctioned my kingdom, nor kicked me out of the festivities. You haven't barred me from any part of the celebration, even though I broke the neutrality agreement 2 nights ago when I fought Janice. Your actions, or lack thereof, don't strike me as those of a concerned queen.
The vines around Mara begin to whip about. Do not presume to know my intentions, Desmond Flynn. The room fills up with her power, the air nauseatingly thick with the smell of flowers. Dez's eyes spark.
Send me and my mate away, Mara. We will leave. Solstice can continue, and you can test your theory concerning my guilt.
He challenges, his voice hypnotic. The Flora Queen's power still fills the room like a rain cloud poised to break wide open. But rather than unleashing her wrath, Mara appraises Dez. Give me your oath that you are innocent, and this can end, she says. The bargainer, a man who makes half of his living striking deals with fools, doesn't hesitate now.
I will give you an oath in exchange for one.
I beg your pardon, Mara says, looking affronted.
I will swear you an oath of innocence if you, in return, promise me 50 years of an unbreakable alliance between the Flora and Night Kingdom.
A swell of anger rises at the back of Mara's eyes. The floral smell once again thickens the air. You would dare to leverage my good graces.
I would have you as an ally, not an enemy.
And to think that only minutes ago I was 5 hot seconds away from opening a can of whoop-ass on that woman. Dez's words seem to pacify most of her anger. She leans back in her seat. Fine. Using one arm to still hold me in place, the bargainer reaches out with his other and Mara grasps it. The moment they clasp hands, the air around them wavers, rippling like waves of water.
I swear to the undying gods, I am not behind the disappearances.
The queen's body seems to relax. She nods. I swear to the undying gods on behalf of my kingdom that for 50 years we will ally with the Night Kingdom. The moment the words are spoken, the magic rippling around them implodes, sucking itself back into their clasped hands. And then it's over. Chapter 37.
Enjoying yourself, slave?
I spin, looking around the Flora Queen's dark forest for the man who spoke. The sacred oaks around me shiver in the night air. That voice, so familiar. But there's no one here in the forest, no one but me. I rub my arms, not sure how I myself ended up in the Queen's sacred oak grove. No matter, I'll just fly back to my room. At my back, my wings open, beating a few times to loosen up. I feel something drip onto my arm. Another wet drop splats against my hair. I lift my forearm to my eyes. In the darkness, I can barely make out the fluid, only that it's dark. Dark and warm. I suck in a breath. Blood. Another drop hits the crown of my head. I glance above me at the latticework of branches. The bark is oozing blood, and the longer I look, the heavier it flows down the tree. I can hear drops of it hitting the leaves of the forest floor. It sounds like the beginning of a storm, the blood first coming in soft patters, then faster and faster. The droplets hit my skin and my clothes.
Life and death are such intimate lovers.
A voice cuts through the darkness.
Wouldn't you agree?
A man steps out of the woods, his irises and plaited hair as dark as the night. He's everything I ever imagined a fairy to be before I met Dez. The upturned eyes, the pouty, expressive mouth, the straight, narrow nose and pointed ears. He has the sinister beauty I've read about in fairy tales. The man's lips curve ever so slightly, his eyes brightening in that manic way that fey eyes do.
Kill her,
another man says from behind me. That voice, so painfully familiar. Any other time I'd whip around, but my gut is telling me that the true menace is staring me down, and I will not turn my back on him.
Her soul is not mine to take,
the black-eyed man says, still staring at me with a dark intensity. I feel the bite of a blade at my throat, and from the corner of my eye I catch sight of a lock of white blonde hair.
You're right,
the familiar voice at my back says.
It's mine.
All at once, the realization slams into me. Dez. It's Dez's voice at my back.
Enjoy each small death you have left,
he whispers into my ear.
I'm coming for you.
And then he slits my throat open. I gasp awake, my body tangled in sheets, a strong set of arms around me. Pre-dawn light filters into the room through the window, casting everything in shades of blue. It's so very different from the darkness of my dream. I glance up into Dez's soft silver eyes and my heart nearly stops. My ear still tingles where he spoke to me seconds ago, and I swear I still feel the phantom prick of pain across my throat from his blade. His eyes widen just a smidge at my reaction.
Cherub, are you afraid of me?
I swallow down the lump in my throat, not wanting to answer. It was just a dream, and yet it felt real. What had Dez told me a while back? Dreams are never just dreams. He searches my face a bit more.
You are.
Dez runs his hand over my bracelet.
Why are you so scared of me?
The moment he asks the question, Dez's magic settles over my shoulders, and I don't need to look down at my wrist to know that yet another bead is now missing from it. I get up from the bed, dragging a bedsheet with me. It was just a dream, I answer. Not good enough. The magic is still there, still pressing down on me.
And?
Dez says, also aware I'm under the grip of his magic. I clutch my throat, and in it you killed me. The answer is good enough to release me from Dez's power. He lounges back in our bed, his face brooding. My eyes drift to his sleep-tousled hair and his bare chest. It's an odd sensation, to be both frightened by and drawn to someone at the same time. But I am.
Callie,
he says, seeing me fighting my impulses.
Come here.
I hesitate, and I swear that momentary pause breaks something in my mate. His voice drops lower.
It's okay, I would never...
His voice cuts off.
I would never harm you,
he finishes. And now I feel like a royal schmuck. I know he would never harm me. He's that one part of my soul that lives outside my body. I pad over to him. He gets up from the bed, all 6+ feet of him staggering, intimidating. He steps up to me, then folds me into a hug. The presence that in my dream had felt so hateful now feels immensely loving. The muscles that were used to kill me are now here comforting me.
Tell me everything about your dream,
he says. And I do. By the time I'm done, my unshakable mate looks worried. What is it? I ask. He shakes his head, frowning.
Nothing good. Normal dreams I'd be able to wake you from. These ones don't release you until they're ready. I'd assumed I'd lost my touch for waking you up, but now I wonder.
I search his face. What?
Controlling dreams is a Night Kingdom trait. It's possible that someone's targeting you while you sleep. Perhaps the same someone who's taking soldiers.
He's coming for you. The thief of souls, I whisper. Chapter 38. Who exactly is the thief of souls, and why would he invade my dreams? That's what I wonder as the two of us head to Mara's throne room. If my dreams are more than just idle nightmares, then who was the black-haired man? And was Dream Dez anything other than an illusion meant to scare me? Or could it be possible that my dreams have nothing at all to do with the disappearances? All these questions are making my head hurt. Dez and I head into the Flora Palace, the walls awash with living, blooming plants. Part of Solstice entails sitting in on the Queen of Flora in her throne room as she holds an audience with her subjects. What Night Fae, aside from you, has enough power to enter my dreams? I whisper as we head through the castle.
Many.
Oh, that's unsettling.
Dez shakes his head.
But,
he continues,
none should have enough power to keep me from waking you. If I had any living siblings, perhaps they'd be strong enough to perform that kind of magic, but my father killed them all off.
That's interesting to know. That power moved through bloodlines. And your father? I ask. Could he...
He's dead,
Dez says, his face stoic.
Well, guess that takes care of that.
I quiet as the two of us enter Mara's throne room and join the throngs of other fairies. The throne room is the same place we met the queen when we first arrived. I look around it again, taking in the vaulted ceilings, the vine-covered walls, and the chandeliers with their dripping candles as Dez leads me down the aisle. My stomach drops when I see Janice at the end of the room, standing off to the side of the Queen's throne, looking like the morning sun. How does he factor into this mystery? As soon as the two kings see each other, I feel the tension in the room ratchet up. Others must sense it too, because fairies are starting to glance around. The air begins to thicken with magic, making it hard to breathe. This is what happens when two juggernauts come together. I touch Dez's arm. It's okay. If only I was half as brave as my words. I steel my spine. I am someone's nightmare, I tell myself. Sure, that someone is probably the next macaroon I come across, but hey, we all gotta start somewhere. We end up standing near the King of Day, much to the frustration of both Dez and Janice. Janice isn't the only fairy who has beef with us. A dozen different fauna fae sit or stand throughout the throne room, and most of them are throwing me and the bargainer dirty looks. Guess they still haven't gotten over the fact that Dez offed their king. It doesn't help that the whole shebang starts nearly an hour later, and even after it does, it's been about as interesting as watching paint dry. The only saving grace is Dez, who's busy whispering secrets in my ears about the audience members who are sitting in the pews.
He likes to wear his wife's clothing. She's sleeping with the entire royal guard, and everyone knows it except her husband. She has a servant who she secretly calls Daddy, and she regularly has him punish her.
He leans in again now.
All morning I've been fantasizing about spreading those soft thighs of yours and fucking you until you're begging me to come.
I stagger a little on my feet, and my siren nearly bursts forth. It's all I can do to keep her caged. Mara's eyes flick over to us before returning to the subject in front of her. I give him an incredulous look. He decides to talk dirty with me now?
Just making sure you're still paying attention, he says.
From behind us, a side door opens and Malachi, along with two night soldiers, step up to Dez, Malachi leaning in to whisper something into Dez's ear. The bargainer nods, then leans into me.
Another soldier has disappeared.
Another one?
I need to step out briefly to talk to my men. Malachi will be here in my stead until I return.
He kisses me briefly on the lips, and then he's gone, retreating back through the side door with the night soldiers. I blink at Malachi, who gives me a tight smile before openly glaring at Janice. Mara excuses her latest subject, leaning back against her throne, her fiery hair cascading down her chest. Today, white roses are tangled in those bright locks of hers. Next to her, the green man's gaze flicks to me, his gaze intense. God, that fairy is unnerving. The double doors at the far end of the room open, and a manacled woman is brought in. Her arms are exposed, and I catch the sight of a branded leaf peeking out from beneath her shackles. Human. Her eyes are swollen, but her face is dry and her chin is defiantly lifted. All eyes watch her as she's led down the aisle, her footsteps and those of her guards echoing throughout the room. Up until now, the fairies who've had an audience with the queen have been nobles squabbling over petty matters. This, however, I can already tell will be different. When she comes to the edge of the dais, her fey guards force her to her knees.
What are her crimes?
Mara asks lazily.
She was caught fornicating with a fairy,
one of the guards reports. Wait, seriously? Homegirl is in shackles because she boned a dude with wings?
Witnesses?
Mara asks, bored.
Two,
the guard says. The two witnesses are brought forward, both human, judging from their rounded ears. Each, in turn, attests to the fact that they caught the servant out on the palace grounds playing hide the salami with a soldier. In the middle of the second testimony, the human girl begins to silently sob. I shift on my feet. This whole situation feels wrong to me. This woman is on trial because she did exactly what Dez and I have been doing. Next to me, Malachi clears his throat uncomfortably. He, too, is guilty of what this woman's on trial for.
Do you have any words to say in your defense?
Mara asks the human woman once the witnesses leave.
Please,
she says, her voice roughened with tears.
He grabbed me. I tried to push him away, but he overpowered me.
Oh, God. My blood runs cold. I can feel my nausea rise, my stomach twisting sickly at the woman's words. This doesn't sound like some illicit tryst in the woods. This sounds like rape. And now this woman is getting punished for it.
Where is this?